And good morning, folks. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Saturday, July 14th, 2012. We'll be right back.
And I am, but this thing's going on. The man down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell. I ain't gonna take it home. Tell our kids to just say no, and let some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go. He slaps him on the wrist and he turns it back out on the town. If I had my way, we'd be to set a dope. Take a big tall tree and a short piece of rope. I'd hang a rope high and swing it till the sun goes down. Well, you know I'm wrong with the world today. People done gone, took the Bibles away. They're living by the law, the jungle, not the law of man. Well, if you lose the test, so I know it's the truth. I'm going out in a 242. Now I'm the kind of man who can harm a mouse, but if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. So don't go pushing against my will. I don't want to have to fight you for the dirt show.
And it is Saturday, July 14th, 2012, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And today, well, we're a little short of a couple Wranglers because it's Radio Ranch Wrangler Jason here along with Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle. Kyle, are you there?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, and, you know, in honor of me being with you today, I guess you played Simple Man.
I played... No, actually, that was... that was funny, but... Kyle, why don't you start us off with prayer this morning?
I will. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly, with honor, Lord, that we get to speak on your word, speak, hopefully, Lord, on your behalf. Put your words and thoughts in our minds and our hearts and our mouths so we can go where you want us to go and say and do the things you want us to say and do. And that we can be a benefit, that we can maybe edify someone, even ourselves, Lord, by speaking your word. And that we could be a blessing to you, that you can look down and be pleased with us, Lord. And we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. I look out here right now at the blessings that I have in this beautiful Wyoming sky, thankful, Lord, that you've taken care of me. And like the little birds that you feed, Lord, and we just are grateful. And thank you, of course, the most for your Son, who bore the cross, who laid down his life for our sins, for us. You can't say it enough. Thank you, Lord. And again, I ask, be with our minds and our tongues and lead us and guide us the direction you want us to go, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit flow this morning with us. And be with all those that are yours out there. Those that are called and chosen and faithful. Those that are just called and chosen, Lord, be with them. And Lord, those that are called, help them become chosen and faithful. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen.
Amen. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do just come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity and ask for your blessing upon the radio waves today and give us the words to speak as we go out on this broadcast. And we just pray, Father, a special blessing for the saints across this land, your people, Father, that they can handle this heat that's going on and that they can endure and that you grant them some reprieve from it. We just look to you as our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask that you continue to protect us and that you bring Satan's children and Satan's kingdom down as we rise higher and higher. We know there's going to be a transfer, Father, and we're anxiously awaiting it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. So the heat wave's still going on?
Yes, it is. Last night when we were talking, we were on the radio here, and we got kind of on that subject. And we've had people from all over the country calling saying that it was bad. Talked to Tom out in Montana, and he was saying that they were baling their hay at night and in the early morning hours just because it was so hot that they couldn't the round baler wouldn't form bales properly because of the heat. Talked to some people in the East that said the same thing. They said it was hot and dry, and we're experiencing that in a lot of places. Got an email last night from up in New York that said that it's so dry out there that they're having fire bans, and they're going into a 90-day fire ban, and just talking about fire all over the place, drought all over the place. I guess not all over the place, because I think in the Northwest they've been having quite a bit of rain. But other than that, it looks like about the rest of the country is in a drought.
You got to remember that these are Days of the Lord event. You got to be grounded in the faith, grounded in Jesus Christ, because God will take care of His own. I mean, there's no getting around it. But you got to be one of His own for Him to take care of you.
Exactly.
I was listening to a couple messages this week on the way back from the shop down there where you're at, and a couple by Earl Jones, a couple by Jack Moore. And, you know, they were 25 years old, the messages, and I got the sense back then, well, they just outright said it, you know, but, you know, they were battling Babylon in deep back then, and they thought, you know, they're trying to take this country back, as we are, you know, and they thought they were gaining ground 25 years ago, and they mentioned certain subjects that they were gaining on, you know, and, you know, hindsight being 2020, we can look back 25 years ago and see that they didn't gain. You know, I mean, I'm sure they did gain, but it's like one step forward, two steps back, because Babylon, and let's put it this way, the power of the dark side, you know, has been underestimated. You know, and
yes, I agree.
Not saying anything negative against, you know, Pastor Jones and Colonel Jack Moore, because they were great godly men, you know, but I did notice one thing that they both said. They didn't always say it at the beginning, but they said it towards the end of their messages. And they always wanted people to be grounded in the rock, Jesus Christ. You know, because, and they mentioned a lot of names on those tapes that were doing good things for this and good things for that. And I don't know what happened to those men. I never met those men. I never even really heard of them except for maybe on somebody else's tape. And it made me wonder, I wonder if those men who were doing things for the Constitution and for things, I wonder if those men were grounded in the rock or if they were just grounded in their fleshly, you know, battle. You know, just because I'd never heard of them. You know, here it is 25 years later, and I don't know where those men went.
Most of them went to the wayside.
They did, you know, I mean, we know that from history, don't we? You know, and you know it better than me because you were around then, you know. But, it, you know, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have been fighting what they're trying because, man, we should all be fighting to get this country back. But we're deep, neck deep in Babylon, that's for sure. And there's consequences for that.
Yeah, there is. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, got some static.
Drinking coffee. Yeah, every once in a while I can lose a little bit of, it just goes, but I'm here.
I'm picking somebody else up on your phone. RK, are you back?
I am.
Okay, good. I don't know who else we were talking to there, but glad we got Kyle back. The phone numbers this morning to call in is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. And if you've got a comment, we'd like to hear it. We've been talking this week. Kyle's been down here most of the week this week, or last week, I guess. Yeah, I guess that'd be this week. And we've been working on Volume 5 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter. And we should have that in the mail by the end of next week, hopefully. And it came together. We had a lot of changes and worked on it pretty hard. We wanted to make sure we had a good one to get sent out to you. And everything came together real good on that, and we're in the middle of printing that with a couple of extra pictures in there on the fire that we just experienced here in Colorado on the High Park fire. And it was kind of neat because we did get some good pictures with the church in the background, smoke coming up behind the church building. Church building was not harmed, but it did get fairly close to it, close enough where you can just see the smoke coming up like crazy behind it. And that was at the beginning of the fire. And I thought those pictures turned out pretty good, didn't you, Kyle?
Yeah, they look great. Yes, sir.
So we're...
You know, I mean, we've all seen fires before, so it isn't like, you know, it's some shocking new thing. But what I did like about them was you could see just how close and how near they were to the church, you know, and then your place, of course, and John's place is even closer to that scene than the church is, you know. So that's what I really like about the pictures was well, for one, the clarity of them, you know, but for another, just you can just see that it was just right there at the door.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it. And we got... The newsletter's title is What is Coming and What is Here, and it's an article that's just basically talking about fires and the fires, what the Bible has to say about fires versus what everybody else is having to say about the fires. So we would like to offer that to you free of charge. If you'd like to order it, just call us, write us, send an email to us, and we'll make sure that you get that. Have you heard much about what's going on with that? Did you hear much about that DC power outage out there in?
I heard off and on. I haven't heard for a few days. I think the last time I listened was Monday or something, and I they didn't say very much, and they still didn't give any very much information on you know what it was all about.
Was it? Did they get the power restored to everybody that had lost it?
I don't think everybody. I think quite a few, but I don't think everybody.
So that's got to be going on over 2 weeks, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pushing it definitely. And the thing of it is what you brought out. You know, so after talking to James McCanny on the phone, I know you talked to him and. And it was kind of a mystery just how it came about, and I'm sure it ain't a mystery to all, but it's a mystery to all of us who would like to know, what that was all about.
You were the one that, you told me that you noticed it just watching it on the Weather Channel, how strange that storm was.
Yeah, because, on the Weather Channel, usually they talk about how they start, and they talk about where they come from, and the path that they take, and this was just completely different. It was just like, it happened, it's here, this is the result, and, no information.
And that's what James McCanny, when we called him that day, he was saying the same thing. He said it was just a storm that appeared out of nowhere. We didn't see any signs that it was coming. We didn't have any warning that it was coming. Nobody had any time to prepare for it because it just was, it was like a boom, like the snap of a fingers, and it was there. And it was quite interesting. I mean, and that's Day of the Lord events. Boom. They're there. And then the interesting thing that he was telling us was that these other websites that usually talk about things like that and discuss things like that didn't have anything to say about it.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It is. Well, and
I was watching it. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that then they talk about how horrible this power grid system that we got set up here in the United States is, and how it just isn't working. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yes, Jason.
Yes.
Joe calling from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning to you both.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm glad that we're doing pretty good here. Pretty good. Cool morning.
That's
good.
Sun's
coming up, a little hazy. Still no rain, but they're calling for it. The percentages keep fluctuating, especially around here. We have the Northern Great Lakes affecting our weather to a great extent. But, I'm glad I tuned in kind of late. I didn't know whether you guys were live this morning or not. So I remember early this morning I woke up kind of listening to the shortwave, and I tuned over to you guys, and I heard last night's broadcast again. And you were talking about hybrid corn, GMO corn, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Was I correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I know a couple of growers, a couple of serious gardeners around here. They're older gentlemen, and I kind of hang on their ear a little bit to get some information.
Right. Yep. That's a good source of information.
Yeah. Yeah. They're few and far between, but they mentioned that they noticed within the last 5 or 10 years when they plant corn, it's so close together.
Yep.
And as a boy, I remember I lived in corn country. I used to ride my bicycle in the cornfield, and a little boy on a Stingray bicycle, you have to have a lot of room between the rows, even for a cultivator.
Right.
But they don't cultivate anymore. They put the GMO corn in the ground, and I guess they spray it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So they don't need to cultivate, so they can afford, and they heavily fertilize, so they can afford to plant more closer together and get a bigger yield.
That is interesting. I hadn't thought of that because I was looking at some cornfields the other day, and I thought, well, maybe I couldn't figure out why they changed it so much, because I remember even 15 years ago, I worked in the cornfields just down the road from where I am now, and we were cultivating and even actually getting out there with hand rotor tillers and rotor tilling in between some of the rows, and it was a lot farther apart than it was now.
It never occurred to me that he was.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, and when he brought that point up, I mean, here's a guy who's tied to the earth, you know, and he noticed it right off. He goes, they're planting that corn so close together. It looks almost like grass when it comes up. It's so close together.
Yeah, it does. Now, how's the corn? How's the corn crops doing out there this year?
The fields are just lush and green.
See, that's what's interesting about here is you know, normally they have a saying out here that says knee high by 4th of July. And
right.
The corn is, you know, usually you want it to be knee high on the 4th of July. Well, this year everything was so far ahead of schedule that, I mean, it was like shoulder height on the 4th of July.
I'm kidding.
And I don't know how that's going to play out in the long run. But I know that it was just odd because it was everywhere. I mean, because I was watching it in June, and I'm thinking, you know, I was thinking in the middle of June, it's over knee high already. What's going on here? And we just had such a strange season this year because of all the – we had water at the beginning of the year, and then it dried up, and we haven't had any. And I don't know if that just gave everything just a jump start at the beginning or – what the deal is, but it's rather strange. And I've had one or two people now tell me that this was the same kind of year all across the country that led into that the storm of 49. And I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of what led up to that storm, but that was when Nebraska got shut down by 10 foot of snow.
Closed the state.
Closed, yeah.
Yeah, turn off the light when you leave.
Exactly.
But anyway, that's a occurrence around here. What they do is they grow the corn for different things. And another thing that occurred to me that if you look at the corn, they're all the same height. You know, the tassels and everything?
Yes, yep.
Pretty much they're all the same except for on the edges. And that's where all the brows, you know, the animal brows.
Oh, right.
Stuff like that. But if you look at hybrid corn, they're engineered to be all the same size.
Yep.
Whereas your open pollinated varieties, they, like I'm looking at some corn here. I'm getting ready to stick it in the ground. I'm growing them in containers for a lake, you know, lake corn. And they're all different size. And this is an open and pollinated variety. But, it's quite strange. I start all my vegetables from seed. And I started tomatoes and stuff like that, peppers, in March, late March or early April. And they never grew. Even though there was plenty of sun, and I sheltered them and I watered them and fed them, they never grew. So tomato crop is a failure this year.
Really? That's interesting.
The seedlings never came up. It's the first time in years that ever happened to me.
Huh.
So, no.
That's interesting. You know, this whole corn thing is really interesting because, Kyle, were you around when we went and picked up that herd of cows that we had over there on corn stalks?
No, I wasn't the one. I was here when you brought them to the ranch, but I didn't actually go with you to pick them up.
We had a couple of years ago. We had put some cattle, about 30 head, over on corn stalks in eastern Colorado, and we went.
Was that ground up silage or
no? It was just after they had went through with the and pulled off all the ears of corn. And done that, they leave the corn stalk standing out in the fields, and then you can use that for winter pasture because it sticks up above the snow.
Okay.
And they just they rotate it, and you put your cows out there, and it's usually just a good way to winter your cows.
Sure.
A lot of people did that for years and years. A lot of people still do, but We
get free fertilizer too.
Yeah, and it works. It's actually a pretty good process. And we had some about 30 cow calf pairs that we had over there on corn stalks. And me and Peter went to pick them up, and we got them semi rounded up. And I'll tell you what, after coming off of those corn stalks, they were the meanest, craziest, hard to deal with cows that you ever saw. We had them in there and it got them in the corral. And, you know, we're always about culling our herd and trying to get rid of the, you know, a crazy cow that, you know, is a fence jumper or something that'll attack you. Because, you know, the last thing is we wanted was for somebody to get hurt. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, that's just being a good herdsman is culling your herd. And, you know, Peter was always real picky about, you know, we got to, you know, make sure that we get, he didn't want one of his grandkids getting hurt or anything like that. So, you know, we would watch, you know, these cows. And, you know, you can look in one of these cows in the eye, and you can tell when you got one that's just plumb crazy. And after picking up these cows off of corn stalks, I tell you what, you could look at all of them, and they were all plumb crazy. They were the...
And they never got better, remember? I mean, when we went to brand them and castrate them, I mean, they were knocking down those fences over there at the guy, you know, we put them on summer pasture, and they were destroying his corral. I mean, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, it was something. I mean, and we had already all
bruised up, and, you know, basically, you know, thankful to get out of there without having too many problems. Didn't you get hit in the head by one?
Yeah, I got hit in the head, and one of them jumped up on a 6-foot fence and just destroyed it. Finally, Peter said, "You go get your pistol and make sure you strap it on." He's like, "I'm not sure we're not going to have to kill some cows today."
Wow.
And it was they'd been on corn stalks for about 6 months, and those cows went just absolutely crazy. And we brought them back. We branded them, like Kyle said. We had just a bear of a time getting them branded, getting the bull calves castrated. And by the end of... Then we turned them out. The interesting thing was, is though, remember, Kyle, we turned them out on that summer pasture, and we let them go all summer. And by the end of that summer, they had finally calmed down.
Mm-hmm. And just about time we're getting rid of them, then they start putting doubt in the boss's mind to get rid of them.
And we just, it was quite interesting because you could tell, I believe that it was the diet. And what they were on, because these genetically modified, they were over on, they weren't on a Monsanto corn, but they were on a Pioneer corn, which is the same thing as basically a Monsanto. It's a genetically modified product. And
it's called Pioneer?
Yes. And the interesting thing about it is you could walk the edges of the fields, and you could see where they had dropped corn, and... the pheasants wouldn't eat it. The birds wouldn't eat it. The deer wouldn't eat it. There was nothing there that would eat it. That was such a rare thing to see for me. Is, you know, usually you see where you drop some corn or something on the side of a field, something is going to be right there picking it up, running off with it, whether it's a mouse, a rat, you know, a deer, a pheasant, something like that. And they wouldn't touch it.
They can tell.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they just take one sniff and that's it.
Yep. Quite interesting.
Well, you guys have a good day.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
And we'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks very much. Thanks, Joe.
Right. Bye.
And the phone lines are open once again. Got Kyle here, Jason here, and we'd like to hear your comments. 970-224-4203. Got some issues with the computer phone line system there at the ranch, so going to try to get that fixed over this weekend. If not, then I'll try to get up there Monday and see if we can't get that fixed. Don't know what the deal is with it, just power surges, power outages. It's amazing sometimes what those kind of problems can have on computers and electronics.
yeah, I feel kind of bad, you know, not having the Wednesday prayer meeting like that, but we're going to try to avoid ever having to do that again.
Yes.
I remember something else about those cows. Do you remember how thin-skinned they were?
Yes.
I mean, it was hard to brand them without going through the skin, you know what I mean, you know, to where, I mean, you know, I hadn't been around cows very much, so I didn't really, you know, until it was pointed out and compared them to the other herd that we had. I mean, they were a little bit different breed there, that's for sure.
Yeah, they were. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was listening to you guys talk this morning about the weather changes and things like that. I'm just south of Colorado Springs, but I'm getting ready to move out to Calhoun.
Oh, okay.
A piece of land out there. So, you know, that I kind of wanted to talk about this Day of the Lord weather, if you don't mind, because there has been so much tremendous amount of talk throughout the country. I'm affiliated with talk show host on the alternative media across the United States. I'm the producer of one show on Genesis Communications Network.
Okay.
And we had one of our talk show hosts that was completely without electric for about 8 days over in West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
And he had told me that he had purchased in the past one of those solar generators from Solutions from Science, and that's one of those ones that Alex Jones is always advertising.
Right, right.
This guy said that without that thing, they would have been totally and completely in trouble. That's what kept their freezer and their refrigeration going inside their house.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And so, well, and the thing that I'm getting ready to purchase, and I'm going to kind of tell everyone about it if you don't mind. Of course, I have not made the purchase. We haven't gone out and hooked this yet. We're going to move our mobile home from south of Colorado Springs out into Calhoun, and got a real super great deal on a piece of land out there. And the thing that we're going to buy, we're going to be completely off the grid out there. So the thing we're going to buy is called Wind Blue Power. Now, having done the research, and of course I'm hooked up with some Tesla guys here in Colorado Springs, and they've really looked at this machine. For $700, and you get everything except the inverter and the batteries, but it gives you a high wind generator, and, you know, out in Calhoun, the wind blows a lot out there.
It probably blows nonstop out there, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, and so you get the, you could choose from a low wind generator that's gonna run 5 to 15 miles an hour and operate at peak capacity on that, or you can choose the 15-mile-an-hour and above generator, which is what they call the high wind generator. And this thing has permanent, it's a permanent magnet alternator, so there's no brushes inside the alternator that wear out and have to be replaced.
Okay.
So, and then another friend of mine.
How many watts does something like that put out?
Well, it depends on how many batteries that you've got, you know, to hook into a series or to hook into parallel. So you've got a large battery bank, because if this thing is turning and charging on a continuous basis, then it's charging your batteries on a continuous basis day and night. I'm going to be preferring this type of a system above and beyond what Pastor Butch was talking about on the solar powered generator that he had hooked into his house during the power outage. Now, we may end up with two of these. We have, like I said, we haven't purchased it yet, so we don't know. We haven't gone into the experimental stage yet as far as hooking this thing up and see what it's going to do.
Okay, well, that'll be, sure will be interesting.
Yeah, and so, you guys were speaking about the corn. Getting back to the power generator, though, real quick, we're going to be totally off the grid out there. We were getting really ridiculed and whatnot by the company that we got a hold of. We got to get a well drilled. So, you know, I told the company, one company that I talked to, that we wanted to put a windmill out there and have the old-fashioned water situation going on. So you had your windmill pulling up your water and putting it in a cistern.
Yep.
Then if I get one of those wind blue power generators and set it just for the cistern, I can have a decent pump down in the cistern, and that'll give me electrically generated water coming into the house and doing some irrigating.
Oh, yeah.
We grow organic corn.
Yep.
It's non-genetically modified Hopi blue corn. We've experimented with that quite a bit, and it's a really great corn product. It's about 20% higher in protein than any white or yellow corn, and it's totally heirloom and non-genetically modified.
Oh, that's good. That's the good stuff, and that's what you want to get.
Well, yeah, and it's a grain corn, so we've experimented with it quite a bit in the past few years. We've been able to grow it. It's done really well in this climate, and so, you know, we're going to continue to do that out there in Cowhand. And it's a grain corn that what you want to do is you want to grind that corn and make your cornmeal out of it. So you got like blue corn tortillas. If you don't add any food coloring, your actual blue corn tortillas are actually kind of a gray color. That you get in the Mexican restaurant and stuff like that, because they're adding a bunch of dark blue food coloring to the other product.
Oh.
Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I'm hearing a dial tone.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what happened there.
Do you want me to hang up and call back in?
No, there, I got it.
Okay, cool. Anyway, really was enjoying hearing you guys' conversation this morning about the Day of the Lord weather.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you calling. Good
it was
luck
so
on
extremely hot here. We, you know, the wildfires burnt the northwest corner of Colorado Springs.
Yep. I know about that. That was because that's just south of me. And man, that was we were keeping an eye on that pretty close. And we just were up here experienced the High Park fire. So it's just seems like it's all around us.
Well, didn't you find that weather that led up to that was so extremely hot and dry, and I mean just extremely hot.
Yeah, it was. It was like a blowtorch outside.
I got the feeling that maybe the forest spontaneously combusted. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous to some people, but I honestly wonder, with it being that hot, the way the conifers up there in the forest let off that little gas, you know, when it gets really hot. It just made me wonder if there was some type of a spontaneous combustion stuff that started up in Keller County, west of Colorado Springs, had 17 fires in 2 weeks.
Wow. Man.
Of course, it was the one fire that got out of control. I had two friends that were evacuated. They had all of their food prepped, all of their weapons, all that kind of stuff that they had been accumulating for a long time in their homes. One guy lived up on the pass in Cascade, west on Highway 24 there where the fire first started. The other person lives in the subdivision. Their home almost burned down, but did not. They're all both of them are members of our preparedness group here in town, and they were sick because they said that when they had to leave their home, that all of their preparedness food and all of the stuff they had been, you know, stockpiling was right there in their homes, and they couldn't move it because everything happened so fast. They were each looking at literally tens of thousands of dollars in preparedness food and preparedness items being burned up inside their homes.
Oh, wow.
They were really freaking out
over it and
talking to me about it. So I'm really strongly encouraging, if I could close this conversation with really strongly encouraging people, folks, it does not take that much to dig a cellar in your backyard and initiate a cellar and put your food preparation items away from your house into a cellar, put your canning in there, your jars, all that kind of stuff, put your preps in there. They've got these things, I forgot what my husband called them, but they were like these styrofoam blocks. They actually make houses out of them. They look like concrete blocks, but they're styrofoam, and they've got rebar in them. And you stack these things up and pour concrete down in the middle of them, and you can make walls out of them. It's real lightweight and easy to work with.
Yep, use those quite a bit. They actually work really well.
What is the exact name of it, please?
Oh, I always just called them styrofoam forms.
Okay. Well, anyways, you know, we kept telling everybody, we said, look, if you want to put a cellar in your backyard away from your house, you know, 10 or 20 meters away from the back of the house, just call us. We'll all come over with shovels and dig this thing out, and you can build this, and that way you can put your preps underground away from your house. Then if there's a tornado, you're good. I'm an Okie. I believe in a cellar in the backyard. or if there's a wildfire, the guys that are doing the demolition said they were.
They would have been in a lot better position if they had something like that, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, common sense, you know, look at the people that will spend $500,000 on a house and tell me that it costs too much to put a cellar in the backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
How ridiculous. And so, you know, I'm really encouraging people to really think about doing that, because even the demolition guys up here, they're getting ready to take out those high-end homes that burned down. They said they're even going to bust the foundations out. So, you know, if those people have preps inside there in their basements and whatnot, or I've heard people say, well, I'm going to build a preparedness type of room down in my basement. Hey, that's not good enough, because when the house catches on fire, it's all going to burn. And then they're going to come and they're going to bust all of it out in order to put in a new foundation and build the house from scratch again.
Exactly. Well, we've got to go to a break.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Goodbye.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
That old wheel will roll around again. That's the song that we normally start out with, and it just worked real good to take a break. And we got Kyle back on the lines with us. Kyle, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Glad you could make it.
I got cut off during the last, anyway, they were talking about being off the grid.
Yeah, off the grid and just being prepared, and with the earth changes and the destruction that's going across this land. And, you know, we've experienced just an awful lot of that as of late, and I think it is waking some people up.
Yeah, that's good. But I was thinking, though, as they were talking, you know, did you know this person?
No.
Yeah, me neither. And I was just thinking as they were talking, you know, the important thing is still the rock, Jesus Christ. And, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, and we love to talk about, you know, survival stuff, And you should, you know, as much as you are capable of, you know, being able to survive under circumstances that most society wouldn't be able to survive under. I mean, being off the grid is obviously a good thing. Being self-sufficient is a great thing. But being in the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing. And that, you know, that's what we build. That's what we are continuing to build on Pastor Peters' ministry, and that is the gospel, you know, obeying the gospel. And I was just thinking that after I got cut off because you know, it just, I got the impression that, you know, self was being proclaimed there, and it's not about me, it's not about Jason, it's about our Lord.
Very, very well put. I was thinking about the scripture and found in 2 Peter 3:10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away, but with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all of these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells."
Yeah. Righteousness, holy conduct, those are the attributes you want.
That's what you want. I mean, and that's basics 101 for survival, and survival on what is coming and what is here.
Yeah.
And I was
reading this morning about, I think, it's at in Luke 9, I think, at the very end. It's talking about the man who puts his hand to the plow, you know, and it tells him, you know, not to look back. And if he looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? And how many people have we known throughout our lives, you know, Jason, your life was a little younger, but how many people have we known throughout our lives, you know, like those men you said this morning, they went by the wayside because they looked back. You know, they didn't keep their hand to the plow, and, you know, suffering comes, you know, tribulation comes, and anyway, something comes that separates them from the Lord, that shouldn't separate them, but they look back, you know, kind of like Lot's wife. You know, she looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Well, so many, you know, they put their hands to the plow, and they're ready to go, and they're serving the Lord, and they're going to follow Jesus Christ, and, you know, something makes them look back, and they're just not fit for the kingdom of God.
It's kind of interesting because a lot of them, they didn't just, it wasn't that they just looked back, but they turned and they ran backwards. And
right.
As fast as they could.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to somebody that was on the sheriff's department this week, and they were telling me and explaining to me how, just in this county, the first 4 days of July, that they had something like 15 suicides.
And oh, wow.
It was, the numbers were a lot higher than I would have expected, especially in an area here, because you don't hear about it a whole lot, but that seemed like an awful lot. And, you know, people looking around and they can see all these things, and it was interesting because I was able to talk to some people, and it was always like their attitude was, they couldn't deal with it. Now they don't have to deal with anything anymore. Now they're at peace. And I knew right away, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You know, that is a lie. And I wonder if there's anybody out there telling these people that, no, that's not the truth. You can't just don't have to deal with anything anymore. And I thought about the scripture found in Hebrews 9:27, which says, "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, then after this comes the judgment." And somebody taking a life that does not belong to them and then turning around and thinking that they get off scot-free, it don't work that way. You know what I mean?
No, and they've been, you know, not only do they deceive themselves, but they've been deceived. You know what I mean?
They've been deceived, and they're deceiving themselves.
Yeah, and it's just, it's just a, it's a horrible act for one, because it's a selfish act. Any time you do an act that is completely selfish like that, it isn't right. You know what I mean? And we all do some selfish acts. There's no getting around it. But at the same time, when we feel good about ourselves is when we serve our Lord Jesus Christ and serve one another with love. And that is just the complete opposite end of that. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know if I can think of one thing that's any more opposite than doing something like that, because it's all self-motivated, self, you know, achieving. And like you said, the thing they're going to find out is that's just the beginning. You know, I mean, that's not the end of nothing.
No, it isn't. I mean, that's they want to escape from this life and go to a better life. They're not going to get it that way.
No.
Because then they're transferred into the judgment. And that judgment, I just believe that is going to be a lot worse for some than anything that this world could dish out.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's going to be a surprise. You know, it just kind of gets swept under the rug, you know. But, you know, I mean, fire and brimstone just isn't preached anymore, for one. I mean, the men that talk about fire and brimstone, they're non-existent anymore, so to speak, you know, other than a few. But so they don't get to hear. They don't get to hear the things that are going to come upon those who stand before God without their counselor there who's saying, I've paid the price for that. I mean, and they just don't hear about it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's what, I'm grateful for.
Can you imagine, Jason, what it's going to be like to stand there and if we're actually going to have to come up with the payment? For our ungodly act, you know what I mean?
If we had to, it'd be death.
Or worse than death. You know what I mean? death, you know, almost seems like an easy way out. You know, it's not going to be that easy, because death to us in the flesh just seems like you're dead and it's over, and it's not going to be like that. It's going to be eternal death, you know what I mean? But anyway. Yeah, suicide is not the peace that the world promotes it as, or I guess the nut jobs promote it as.
Well, I think about 2 Peter 3:7, and it says, "But the present heavens and earth by His word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." And then you see ungodly men trying to escape the judgment by doing something like suicide. They're not going to escape it. I don't understand how they can reason things like that out.
I don't either. Yeah. And for somebody out there who's had a loved one or somebody, you know, we understand that there's different circumstances. There's different acts of doing that. I mean, not every time. You know, I mean, I know that, you know, some real old man who was dying of cancer, a horrible death, who did it. I don't look at him quite the same as I do, you know, some of these young ones that do it. But, I mean, not that any of it's good and any of it's right. Just saying, we do understand that there's different circumstances for different means of what's happened.
Yeah, there's definitely circumstances. But I've seen cases where it's just... it's obvious that the only person that person was thinking about was themselves.
Did the sheriff or whoever you talked to, did they act like it was up or down?
Yeah, they said it was up. They said it was up a lot.
Huh.
And they said that it's just, you know, that there's a lot of depressed people out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and a lot of that is caused by the anti-depression drug.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a huge part of it. But if you don't have, I mean, you look around, and if you could look around and saw everything that's going on across this country, if you read the newspapers, if you watched the news, if you looked around at society, and you didn't have Christ in your life, what would you have to look forward to?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it'd be a scary place. I mean, as a Christian, it can be challenging at times, but, you know, when you have the attitude is, you know, we win, and the Lord's put us here for a reason, and He works all things together for good. You know, and you believe it, and you have faith in it. You know, those are, you look at all the promises that we have, and you obtain them through faith. Then it's not scary. It's not a dark place anymore. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, it's disgusting. You know, and you look around and you shake your head and you hear people. You know, you can't tell whether they're a man or a woman. I mean, you see horrible things, but your whole foundation is the rock, Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? So you're not like that wave of the sea, you know, where you don't have any hope. You know, you don't have an anchor, you know, because the anchor is the anchor of your soul. And I think there's a verse in there where it compares it to the hope, you know, and the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of what's coming, you know. And we have that. You know, and not that we don't have, you know, have to work on it, because everybody has to work on it. But if you were without that anchor, yeah, you know, I have family members, I have old friends that they don't have that anchor, and their life is a mess, you know, and a complete mess.
Yeah, it is. I know what you mean. Well, Kyle, we are just about out of time.
We are.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Hopefully we get some good phone lines back on this week sometime.
Yep, that's the plan. That's what we'll be working on. So,
anybody who wanted to call in the prayer night last Wednesday night, we'll try to be there for sure this Wednesday, and we apologize for not being there. We'll try not to let that happen again.
Absolutely. Join us for church tomorrow. Go to sfaw.org. 10 o'clock Mountain Time, we'll be starting off with a new scriptural insight and study, followed by a communion service, song service, and then something out of the archives. So tune in and join us for that. We'll be here on WTWW, world's greatest shortwave station. And I think we'll go out with a song. Remember, you can email me. My email address is jason@sfaw.org. Have a good day, folks.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores and the sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king. Paul Revere cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns on the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles will be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from powers up on high, and cried this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus. From the fight for his liberty and life, we've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian horde through the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp of the United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and vow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle. The Messiah.
time for all good men to seek his face on high and vow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie.